Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree, you will see greater things than these?" This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So as we jump into this, how I met you, Jesus, again, and we're looking at Nathanael's story, there is an imperative question that has to be asked. Philip invites his friend Nathanael to come and see the one whom Moses and the prophets wrote about. Philip goes a little bit further and proclaims that we being Andrew and Peter, along with Philip, we have found the one. That one is Jesus, son of Joseph of Nazareth. Now, can you imagine the look on Nathanael's face when he heard his friend proclaiming something that seemed impossible? Yeah, sure. Everyone raised in the Jewish tradition had been taught to look for the Messiah. But how many of them really believed that they would see the Messiah in their own lifetime? So the question and the questioner, Nathanael's question: can anything good come out of Nazareth? Was not just a rhetorical question. It was a question that mandated a response, because the likelihood that the Messiah could emerge from such a place was totally unbelievable. Why? Because Nazareth, around the time of Jesus, had established a rather poor reputation in both morals and religion. Nazareth and the people living in Nazareth, they were despised by the Romans and despised by the Jews. Matter of fact, when people thought of Nazareth, they thought of them as a conquered people, hardly worth mentioning. So Nathanael, the questioner's assessment of the situation was an accurate description of current reality for Nathanael, and his skepticism was justifiable. And when he meets Jesus, Jesus defines him as someone who has no deceit in him. Nathanael was a person of great integrity, according to Jesus' characterization of him. And therefore, if Nathanael posed the question, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Jesus is saying it's important to listen to Nathanael, because there is no deceit in him. He is a son of Israel that you can trust. So Nathanael was a skeptic. You see, skepticism is not a modern virtue. It's something that's been around since the beginning of time. We notice it in Doubting Thomas. We meet up with people who we classify as Doubting Thomas. They're people who find things hard to believe. It shouldn't be hard for us church people to step into that, because many of us are doubters. Yeah, we show up for church, but we have a healthy dose of doubt rolling around in our spirits all the time. When it comes to the virgin birth, we let our intellectual mind step in and say, could that miracle have really have happened? When it comes to the resurrection of Jesus, we have a residual skepticism. Did it really happen as the Bible says? See, even those of us who gather to worship Christ, we gather with our doubts. We gather with our skepticism. Think about that. Many of us who are here because we made a decision that we want to follow Christ, there's enough skepticism in us. What we really mean is we want to follow Christ as long as he's taking us where we want to go. Right? I mean, we're followers of Christ until perhaps he wants to grow us in a direction that we're not sure we want to go. This past week, we had opportunity to be at McKendree University, participating in the Voight Preaching Lecture Series with Lillian Daniels. And she has a new book out that's worth the read. It's called When Spiritual But Not Religious Is Not Enough. We hear a lot of people say today, I'm spiritual, but I'm not religious. Because in their mind, religious means traditional church. And in their mind, religion means not relevant to the 21st century. So in her book, she speaks of Lydian names. I was in conversation with her, and I said, you know, in our context of Highland, when we do our demographics, 20% of the people are part of faith community, and 80% of the people are what we call the unchurched. So in the course of giving her lecture, she mentioned my statement, and she said, Bev, I want to share with you who the 80%ers are. She said, the 80%ers are those people who are done with church. Now, the duns with church, they are the people who have been hurt by the church, and they're never coming again. And then in that 80%, you have the no ways. They have heard so much bad stuff about the church that there is no way that they're even willing to give the church a chance. And then you have the nuns, the N-O-N-E-S, the nuns and the not yet. The nuns have no reference point for church. They're not opposed to church. They're not angry with church. They're not mad at the church. Their lives have just never intersected with the church. And you have the not yet. The not yet, they stop by church at Christmas. They stop by church at Easter. And they might stop by church on Mother's Day and maybe Father's Day. But for the most part, the not yet, they've been by here. They just have made no commitment to Jesus and no commitment to the church. All of these people are like Nathaniel. They need a reason to believe. Some of them need a reason to believe for the first time. Others of them need a reason to believe again. All of us are looking for something to believe in. And if you don't believe me, ask yourself the question, why is it that so many people buy lottery tickets? Because they want to believe. They want to believe that something better can happen in their life. Everybody is looking to believe in something. They either believe in their degrees, they believe in their jobs. Some people believe in their relationships. We are not a people incapable of believing. We just tend to be a little misdirected on where to put our belief. But we are all looking for something and somebody to believe in, even if we can't name it for ourselves. Well, the good news is while we're looking to believe in something, if you look at Nathaniel's story, Jesus found Nathaniel under a fig tree. Now, Jesus found him under the fig tree. A fig tree is about 15 feet tall, and its branches spread out about 25 feet in width. So it sort of like a little umbrella, creating a space that is almost like a private room. Why? Because during Jesus' time, people lived in one-room houses. And as soon as their house was built, the first thing they did was go out from the house and plant a fig tree. The fig tree became for them like a private room. It became a getaway place for those who lived in the one-room home. They could escape the chaos of family discussions and family fights. he or she would find themselves under the fig tree. And if you pass by a neighborhood and you saw somebody on your way somewhere, they were sitting under the fig tree, that was a sign to you that that person was seeking and praying for God's living presence. The fig tree was a symbol in Nathanael's time that Jesus recognized this is a person trying to be alone. This is a person seeking to commune with God. So Jesus calls Nathanael out and names him as a person who is without deceit, names him as a person with high integrity, names him as a person who can be trusted because Jesus saw him under the fig tree seeking and praying for God's living presence. So Jesus saw something in Nathanael and he called him out by name. Now, before Nathanael professed that Jesus was the rabbi, the Son of God, the King of Israel, before Nathanael confessed who Jesus was, Jesus saw something in Nathanael. Can I just say, sometimes, my friend, we are so busy looking for God in all of the wrong places that we forget that God is looking for us, that Jesus is on a search and rescue mission. He finds Nathanael when Nathanael is looking for God, and Nathanael cannot believe that God could show up in such a and be from such a place as Nazareth. Well, can I just say that even though we show up in church, many of us, we show up too. We may find ourselves among the nuns and the duns and the no ways or the not yet, but we got just enough to keep on coming. And we think that we're making that decision ourselves. We don't realize that Jesus sees something in us that he is trying to call forth in our life. We have not gathered here on this day by accident. No, our God has been on a rescue mission, and part of his destination to rescue people is right here in Highland Hope, because Jesus knows that those of us who show up, we're looking for something. We're looking for a reason to believe. We're looking for an excuse to keep on trusting our God. And Jesus is saying to us, if you surrender yourself to me, I will plant you in a place where you can grow. I will cultivate your ministry. And I will send you forth to bring forth others. So Jesus calls us out by name. John, remember, we started with John. John met Jesus through the divine intervention of God. Andrew met Jesus through John. Simon Peter met Jesus because of Andrew. Andrew and Peter was from the hometown of Philip. Philip could look up and see Andrew, and he could see Peter, and Jesus met him where he was and called him forth. And the first thing that he did was, it's not enough for me to meet Jesus. I'm going to go back and get my friend Nathanael. Philip positioned Nathanael for a divine encounter with the one who was from Nazareth, the unthinkable place, the unforgivable place, the shameful place, the place that probably most good Jews wouldn't even mention. But Jesus did not wait on an occasion to meet Nathanael. Jesus met Nathanael under the fig tree. Jesus knew what Nathanael was doing under the fig tree, was seeking and praying. Ha! No matter where we are, we cannot escape the presence of our God. He finds us where we are. He can reach out to us no matter what our address, no matter what our circumstances, whether our parents are in church, whether our grandparents brought us to church, no matter what the circumstances of our lives, the Lord does not confine us to our yesterdays. God does not demand that we live over our mistakes. Jesus finds us where we are, and he invites us into the kingdom of God. He invited Nathanael to move from just looking for God, come on this mission, and we will find others. And so Nathanael becomes one of the 12. Can I just say, if you find yourself in a place spiritually destitute, hungry, looking for something to fill your soul, perhaps you have landed in Nazareth. You find yourself in a place you've come from. Well, Steve and I, we said we come from Kentucky and Arkansas. And you don't really have to give too much more description. You know? We come from places. I come with my boyfriend right here. We come from coal miners, don't we, Lynn? We come from coal miners, hardworking people. And people look at coal miners and say, can anything good come out of there? And what Jesus said is not your address, it's not your starting point, it's what you want as your destination that counts. See, he can take you from wherever you are, and he can bring you to a new place. Can I tell you that Jesus is still calling people by name? He is still calling folks out, and Jesus will meet you right where you are. This is the day, this space, this is our fig tree. Right here, right now, we have come not to waste our time. We have come to this place because our lives are yearning to know the touch of the living God. We are yearning to experience, like Nathanael, the presence of God. We have come here today to retreat, to pull away from the chaos of the world around us. And we've come here to, yes, read scripture, yes, reflect on God's word, yes, pray our way through. But mostly we've come to be with Jesus. We have come here today hoping that Jesus will meet us right where we are in the midst of our messy lives. And perhaps some of us have come and we've left home the nuns, the duns, the no ways, or the not yets. And the reason why we've come is because Jesus has a word for us to share with all of the duns, the nuns, the not yets, and the no ways. And it's a simple little word. John made the invitation to Andrew. The only thing that Andrew could ask of Jesus was, where do you live? Jesus said, come and see. And from that moment on, every one of the disciples uses that word when people ask, what can you tell me about Jesus? Come and see. And here's the good news for us today. Jesus will meet us where we are, and the only thing that we have to bring with us is a come and see. Come and see what God is doing. Come and experience it for yourself. Come and touch God's life in you. Come and allow the life that God planted in you to emerge with new hope, to emerge with a new feeling of, I belong to something bigger than myself. God does for us what Jesus did for Nathanael. This is your fig tree. I call you out from the fig tree. I call you out from Howling Hope to go beyond the doors. You don't have to have a degree in theology. I just call you to do one thing. Go out and say to the duns, the nuns, the no ways, and the not yet, I'm going to beat you over here with a Bible story. Because it'd be irrelevant. You don't know it yet. Go out and offer you offer your story. Let people see the Jesus in you. Then you will say to them an invitation that they will not be able to refuse. Come and see. I too was a skeptic, and the Lord warned me over. He can win you over too, at any age, at any stage. Come and see what the Lord is doing. May it be so for you and for yours, and may your week be filled up with none, done, no ways, and the not yet. Come and see what the Lord is doing. May it be so. It's a good word for Jesus.